It's good to be with you again today. I trust that you've had a great day in Christ, experiencing the wonders of Jesus Christ himself, clothed in your humanity, living his life out through you. This morning, in my time alone with the Lord, just at his footstool, just in prayer, and when I reference my quiet time or time in prayer with the Lord, always references that's footstool time. David talks about that, sitting at the Lord's footstool, because when I'm communicating with him, when I'm praying, I don't just talk. I actually do more listening than I do talking, because he has so many amazing things he wants to say. And we live by the words that proceed out of his mouth. And so it's important that we understand that prayer is a dialogue, not just a monologue. But this morning, in my time alone with him, I was reading through Acts chapter 7, and at some point, Stephen is sort of giving an account before the Sanhedrin of how Israel had again and again rejected God's prophets, and of course they had done it again by rejecting the Messiah. And he's talking about when they're in the wilderness, and when Moses came from the mountain, and they had built an idol, and they were offering sacrifices to idols. And so he quotes in Acts chapter 7, verse 42, in his conversation or his speech or whatever sermon before the Sanhedrin to them, that he quotes from Amos chapter 5, verse 25, something that God said to Israel about their time in the wilderness. And when I read this, it just spoke to my heart so powerfully. And so I pray that it will for you too. This is what it says. Speaking to Israel and about Israel during their time in the wilderness. Did you present me with sacrifices, or did you offer sacrifices and grain offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel? And of course, they didn't. And so again, hear what it says. Did you present me with sacrifices and grain offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel? So this is what the Lord spoke to me metaphorically through these scriptures, because the Old Testament scriptures are historically true, but 1 Corinthians 10 says they're also spiritual examples for us. All of us have been through wilderness times in our walk with the Lord. And I don't mean by that wilderness in your soul, but I'm talking about just situations and circumstances that you've gone through that are very difficult. Jesus promised us that that would happen, right? He said that he leaves his peace with us. He says, but in this world, you're going to have tribulation. So in this world, we go through times of testing and trial and tribulation. And so I'll refer to those as wilderness times, because they're just difficult moments. They're not excuses to not abide in Christ. They're not places where we can't still know joy unspeakable, full of glory. Christ doesn't change. No matter what the circumstances are that you're going through, even if it's a wilderness place, a very difficult place, it doesn't change the truth of who he is in you. And therefore, as we abide in him, the fruit of the Spirit, even in a wilderness place, should be love, joy, peace, all those things that is the life of Christ, even through hard places. But when I heard this, the Lord spoke this to me, and I was thinking about just recently something that I've gone through, and many of you already may know about this, but beginning towards the last part of March, maybe the third week of March, I was traveling, and I did something I thought to my back. And it began this journey that in some level I'm still on. I'm coming out of it. Things are much, much better, maybe 85% better, but still, physically, it was the hardest thing I've ever gone through. And so even a few years ago, I had open heart surgery. But that open heart surgery was nothing compared to what this was like. And for the first month, it was, I found myself frightened, which is not a place to be, because the circumstance didn't change the truth of who Jesus was in me, but it's a situation like I'd never been through before. I mean, I've injured myself before. I've had things happen. But usually, you know, within a week or two, things just start getting better. But after 7 weeks, it was not getting better. And the pain was debilitating. And where it really impacted me the most was in my left upper leg, my front part, right above my knee. It was both numb and extremely painful. That and sort of towards my back a little bit. And what they ended up discovering was that I had a cyst that was pressing against the L2 root. And of course, that all runs down that left side. And for me, it was affecting that left side. And it was unbelievable. I'd never experienced anything like that before. And as a person who is older, in those first few weeks, I found myself frightened because I'd never been that helpless or dependent on others to take care of me. I mean, others had to do almost everything for me. And just the idea of getting out of my bed and going 10 feet to the bathroom was frightening because it hurt so bad. But the worst part was I didn't know, since it was lasting so long, whether it was ever going to go away, whether my life had been changed forever, whether this is something that had altered my life forever, because I didn't know how to, I couldn't connect the dots. I didn't relate to anything I'd ever been through before. Now, I'm making a confession before to you that there were just times during then, not all the time, but there were just times during then when certain things would happen. And instead of just trusting him, I became frightened. And so the enemy just took advantage of that. He always does. He doesn't play fair. If he can get you frightened, then he can blow you away. Now, during that whole process, the Lord began to really speak into me over and over again. Chuck, trust me with this. Because see, the problem was I couldn't understand what was going on. And I was trying to figure out what was going on. Maybe you're like that too. So if I can figure something out, then it's not so scary. I just couldn't figure out what happened, why it was happening, what was going to happen. And so because I couldn't control it, if you try to control things and you can't control them, then you get fearful. That's not a way to walk in peace, is by trying to control everything. The best way to walk in peace, right, is to surrender to the one who is our peace. Now, there were lots of times when I was abiding in Christ in those first months, you know, that I was just walking in peace, but then something unusual would happen and I got thrown again. And the Lord spoke to me through this. He said, Chuck, were you offering me sacrifices during that wilderness place in your life? And I knew exactly what he was talking about. Let me read to you from, this is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him, through Christ, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that are giving thanks to his name. Let me read it again. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that are giving thanks to his name. And so what the Lord was saying to me, Chuck, there were moments during that time. He was teaching me still. And I'm not going through all that now. Lord had some real breakthroughs in my life, you know, like a month into it or whatever and the time frame was. But I realized what happened is that in those early months, when it was so awful, or early 6 weeks, when there were times when it was so awful, and something would happen that would cause, it would throw me, I found that I was not giving thanks. And we talked about the language of faith a couple weeks ago, and the language of faith is the words, thank you. You know, giving thanks in all things. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In Rome, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, we use that scripture that always giving thanks for all things. So there's just this thing about thanksgiving, and it's particularly when it's a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. When you're going through a tough place, are you able, without understanding, the whole thing may be a mystery to you, are you able to offer him thanksgiving? Because the sacrifice of praise is the fruit of lips that are giving thanks to him. And because in those moments when I couldn't understand things, instead of in that moment just giving him thanks, I was not able to offer up a sacrifice of praise. And the wilderness began to close in those moments. Let me just show you this scripture. I love this. I read this, I think, Sunday at Christ the King. This is from Psalm 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. Notice what he said. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. What's the gate of the Lord? What's the gate into his presence? Giving thanks. Now, you and I always live in his presence. I know that. We're in Christ. Christ is in us. But in terms of the gate to experience, have a conscious experience of his presence, to experience his presence consciously, thanksgiving is connected to that. Listen to this scripture. This is from Psalm 95. I was reading this morning too in my time in prayer. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Isn't it interesting how thanksgiving, giving thanks, is somehow connected to presence, to the presence of the Lord? Again, it doesn't give you his presence. You live in his presence. You are in Christ. But thanksgiving is connected to your conscious experience and awareness of his presence. It is the gate. You know, there's a scripture that used to be quoted a lot by charismatic. We enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart, into his courts with praise. And they would treat that like worship leaders would treat those are two different things. There's thanksgiving, then there's worship. No, it's just one thing. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Gates into what? Into his courts. Into the realm of his presence. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in his heart, into his courts with praise. And thanksgiving and praise are connected. Praise, the sacrifice of praise, is the fruit of lips that are giving thanks. And he said in that place in Hebrews, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that are continually, that's the language, the grammar, giving thanks to his name. And so the Lord just blessed me by teaching me and instructing me. Because there are going to be other battles in the future. In this world, we have tribulation. And we never stop learning, do we? And so it just blessed me. The Lord was saying, Chuck, did you offer me the sacrifice of praise at all times during that wilderness place? And the answer was no. And why? Because I wasn't giving thanks. And therefore, I wasn't able to offer the sacrifice of praise. And it is a sacrifice when you walk through the wilderness place, because it doesn't feel good. It may even appear scary on the outside. But when you give thanks in all things, and you're able to offer up a sacrifice of praise, which is connected, they're joined at the hip, two sides of one coin, thanksgiving and praise, and you're offering that, there's something about that thanksgiving, that offering of thanksgiving, that's connected to a conscious experience of his presence, which is the most important thing of all when you're walking through wilderness places. Okay, well, I hope that encourages you, blesses you, teaches you. It did me. And I love you very much, and thank you for watching, and may the rest of your day be a testimony of his life in you. Amen.